All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of This About That with me and Tyler Lewis. Tyler, how are we doing, buddy?
Doing great, brother. Happy at the time of recording, it is Mother's Day. So Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Yes. Shout out all the moms, man. Yeah. Do a lot for us.
You guys are doing a great job.
Yes. Really. Yes. Shout out. So we got a good amount of stuff to talk about with this episode, but we're going to start off with a little bit of a little question. / debate, for anybody that's listening to this or is going to be listening to this, put it down in the comments what you guys think and, we'll go from there. So the question is, would you rather take a punch from prime Mike Tyson in the ring, right cross, he's just leveling you, or you take an over the middle suicide pass and Ray Lewis is coming full speed, also in his prime, just to light your shit up? So Tyler, what would you rather do? Take a punch from Mike or take a hit from Ray?
I've got a couple of questions for you regarding the situation we're in.
Yes.
Number one, are we talking about Ray Lewis pre or post alleged murders?
You know, that's a tricky one because I think he was very lethal in both times. You know, the alleged murders might have added a little punch to him, a little fire.
He was a lethal guy. That's what they say.
Yeah, lethal guy. But you know what? You can pick. Rather, if you want to do
let's say he's post murders, like 2011, year before they won the Super Bowl.
Sure. Yeah.
And then we'll go like Mike Tyson when
post prison.
Yeah, after the face tattoo.
But yeah, post prison when he comes out and who did he fight? That Irish dude, Mike something, and just that guy came out swinging. Got to give him, dude. He got dropped, man. That guy was a good fighter too. But dude, there's
one of our viewers loves when we say he was a dog.
Yes. I said it way too much last episode for everybody that was watching it. I just couldn't help myself. So we're gonna try to keep back the dog comments for now. Tyler, what are you thinking?
I'm gonna guess that Mike Tyson, I don't think, punches without the intent to hurt you. I gotta say, I'm taking the hit from Ray Lewis because I'd be wearing full pads, and I think I have a lot less of a chance of getting a permanent brain damage from him hitting me as hard as he can.
Once versus, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like I'm in the same boat here. I played a little bit of football, not at a crazy level, just a little JUCO, and I did take some shots. I'm sure I would not be able to get back up from a Ray Lewis hit. Who knows? Cracked rib. Concussion, probably.
That'll do it.
Wind taken out of you. Maybe a snap femur. Who knows? But Mike Tyson coming around with that right cross post prison. I mean, he might kill me. I might not get back up. I might be what's his face from the Rocky movie, dude.
Yeah, and I'll have to say, you know, for the audio listeners, you might not know, but if you watch the video here, I'm not really built to take any kind of hit. So I think either way, I'm in a bad spot here. But no, I definitely have to go with Ray Lewis on that one.
I'm thinking that there's a chance that if he hits you, it's like, okay, like you're going to obviously go flying and your whole body is just going to bounce off the turf.
Yep.
But I feel like I could get up after a little while. Like, you know, I don't think I'm going to be knocked out. I'm definitely going to be hurt.
The wind's going to be out of my chest.
I may or may not have a cracked rib, and I may or may not get back up and go to the other team sideline because I'm confused.
A little internal bleeding, perchance.
A little internal bleeding. You know, hey, if the boys from Jackass can go against prime, what is it, Allen from that defense end from the Minnesota Vikings and just get rocked? He's sitting there, his wind's knocked out of him, but he got back up. Now I feel like if Mike Tyson gave me a right cross with all his might post prison, even pre prison. I think I'm not getting back up. I think I'm going to be waking up in a hospital 2 hours later. Like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, he would separate my jaw from the rest of my head.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
So for all the people listening, put it down in the comments. What would you rather do? Take a punch from prime Mike Tyson, post or pre-prison, your choice, or take a hit over the middle by prime Ray Lewis, suicide pass, you're getting absolutely rocked. I'm going with, you know, getting hit by Ray Lewis.
Same here.
I think Tyler's going with that. I think that's the safe route as far as permanent damage goes. So with that, we'll get into our next topic here. So our next topic that I want to get into is the UFC a little bit. So today I saw in sports news that Conor McGregor is going to make his return to the UFC on June 29th against Michael Chandler. Tyler, what do we think about that matchup? What do we think about Conor McGregor being gone for 3 years and making his debut back in the ring this summer? What do we think?
Well, I think this is possibly – I mean, I don't think that if he wants to fight, Dana will always let him fight because of what he draws. 100%. But his last two fights were not awesome.
Yeah, no. Nope.
He at UFC 257 – He came out as a nice guy, Connor. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Dustin Poirier is awesome. You know, I love him, all this crap, you know. Gets knocked out in the second round.
Yep.
And then in UFC 264, he comes out, and that's when he broke his leg. Remember that? That was like –
That was brutal.
He didn't look good. And before that happened, he didn't look like he was doing well.
He didn't look great.
He looked like he was just getting outclassed by Dustin Poirier. And exactly. Dustin Poirier is no slouch, but I think that I think Michael Chandler is a good fighter. But
I think so too.
I'll pull up Michael Chandler his last fight. Let's see. His last fight was UFC 281 in 2022, and he got choked out, or not choked out. He lost by submission to Dustin Poirier. So it's just a. It's an interesting one. But before that, you know, he won a couple of his UFC fights. He beat Ember. He had that infamous face kick.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to see if I can pull that up, actually. Can we show that? Are we allowed to show that?
I don't think we can.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, we might get copyrighted for that one.
We won't show that. But, it's going to be a good fight, I think. But it could also be like one of those fights that I think either one of those guys could end it really early. You know, what are your kind of thoughts on that? I know they hate each other because they had the Ultimate Fighter teams against.
Yeah, the Ultimate Fighter; those two were coaches against each other. I think it's definitely a heated beef and a heated rivalry here. I don't believe they've ever have they fought before. I think
no,
they've never fought before. First time. I think Connor's going to come with a vengeance. He's proven himself before, and obviously, like you said, Dana White is going to let him fight. The amount of money that guy has generated in the UFC is insane, and I believe this one was supposed to be like $20 million. I forgot what it is. $20 million
pay-per-views, probably.
Yeah, $20 million in pay-per-views. That's like the estimate, and that's huge. I think it's huge for both fighters. They're both going to get a big payday.
Let's see what the largest UFC.
It's got to be him. Connor's got to be. He's got to be the one that generated the most.
Let's see. But, yeah, number one is Khabib versus Connor. And it's actually kind of funny. I'm going to read you the top 10 for pay per views from UFC ever. Number 10, Aldo versus McGregor. Number 9, Usman versus Masvidal.
Mm-hmm.
8, Alvarez versus McGregor. 7, McGregor versus Cerrone. 6, McGregor versus Diaz. 5, Lesnar versus Mir. 2. Ooh.
Heavyweight battle right there.
Yeah. 4, McGregor versus Poirier. 3, Diaz versus McGregor. 2. Number 2, Poirier versus McGregor 3, and then number 1, Nurmagomedov versus McGregor at 2,400,000 pay-per-view buys at net 180 million. So that whole list pretty much is just McGregor. So that's like, this is probably going to be, I doubt it touches the Nurmagomedov versus McGregor net, because that was just such a massive fight.
Yeah,
but I would say that it probably gets on this top 10 list for sure.
No, 100%. Yeah. I mean, like we've touched before, you know, he's making his debut after 3 years of not being in the ring. Mm-hmm. You know, we know he's training, we know he's preparing. Yep. And I think he's going to come out and I think he's going to win. I think he's going to beat yep. Michael Chandler. I like, you know, he's Michael Chandler is no slouch. That guy
he's a dog.
He's battle tested and he, you know, he's a good fighter and he brings a lot of energy yeah. as well. And in the Ultimate Fighter, I mean, those guys got in each other's face and Connor like shoved him in his face and Michael was like, "Whoa, yeah." And then he's, you know, they cut to like a little short of them in the gym and it's like Connor's like, "This is my game. This is my game," and all this stuff. And I just love it, dude. I love the UFC. I think this is going to be definitely a battle between these two. And I think I don't think it will go the distance, but I think Conor McGregor is going to come out on top on that one. And I think he's going to make a name for himself again, and hopefully, you know, be at the top of the charts. And, you know, Dana loves it. You know, Dana loves that he's making all, you know, all this money and, you know, him coming back, he's like, "Oh yeah, he's eating that up."
Well, he makes all this money and he doesn't pay his fighters very much.
Yeah, so exactly. And then he pays a rookie fighter like 50 grand to go beat his face in for his debut. It's just ridiculous. But yeah, I think Conor McGregor is going to take that. What do you think? You think Conor's going to win that one, or you think Michael Chandler's got a chance?
I don't know, dude. It's so hard to make a decision. I would like to see Conor win, obviously. Yeah. Because, you know, when we were growing up, Conor McGregor was just the man. Like,
oh yeah.
And then he went to box against Floyd when we got together to watch that one. And
That was entertaining.
And then he came back and just didn't look super impressive. So it's just kind of like, I feel like when you're a UFC fighter, right, before he started making the kind of money he was making off pay-per-view buys, because obviously Dana pays him a ton of money to fight. You have to be so hungry, in my opinion, to succeed in a UFC. Like, nobody wants to go get their face punched in for fun.
Yeah.
Once you've already established yourself and he's making that much money, like, he doesn't have the incentive to get the fight of the night bonus or the KO bonus or whatever it is, the finish bonus and all that crap. You know, he's already made his money. If he loses this fight, I wouldn't be surprised if he's fighting a YouTube boxer the next.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely agree with that. You know, like I said, I think Conor's going to win. I would like Conor to win. I think that'd be huge for him. But it's going to be a fight for sure. And I'm excited to watch it. I'm definitely going to be tuning in. Speaking of fighting, I know this has kind of been a topic that's been talked about quite a bit, but the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight, you know, just kind of, you know, the us talking about the fight, it kind of brought it in my brain a little bit, but I will say this. I think Jake Paul in this situation, he's a marketing genius. He has been for so long. He just fights these dudes that are just either old, retired, or have never stepped in the ring and just has so much money and revenue being brought in to the sport. And that's kind of like turned me away from boxing a little bit. But what do you think is going to be the outcome? Do you think it's going to be one of those things where it's like, you know, Mike Tyson signing one of those contracts saying, "Oh, you can't go full speed. Like, you're supposed to drop in the second round, and here you go. Here's $50 million because, you know, you fought one of the most popular influencers / boxers." So what do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one. Like, it's since changed, but originally, like, the original rules of this fight were like stupid. It was like supposed to be like Jake Paul was gonna wear headgear and Mike Tyson was not, and all this crap, you know, and like they're wearing 14-ounce gloves. Originally it was supposed to be 16, I believe. So it's like it was a little weird, but now it's gonna be an official fight, so it'll go on their official records. It'll be a 2 8-minute rounds maximum. And it's just one of those things, like, and originally I think, I don't know if it's still this way, it could be that if for each round they go, Mike Tyson makes more money. So it's like if they go 8 rounds, Mike Tyson will make the most possible money. And then at the end of the rounds, it doesn't there was like something weird about the scoring decision. Like it would go to like the judges or something like that, but it was just weird and it was a little strange. But I think if I was gonna pick who I would think would win, I'd pick Mike Tyson because he's Mike Tyson. But have you seen his workout videos?
Like I was just about to mention,
so hard.
His punch, it looks like he hasn't even missed a beat. And people are like, "Oh, yeah. he's almost 60 years old." But I'm like, dude, it's Mike Tyson though. He's the most vicious and brutal boxer in my opinion of all time.
You don't forget how to punch somebody in the face.
Yeah, you don't forget how to punch. And dude, he's just firing on all cylinders. But I can also see it being just a cash money check for Mike Tyson. He's just going in there and he's just gonna play around and get a bag. But I could also see it being, I hope, no hole barred, like everything. Like he's going in there and he's rocking Jake Paul. I mean, if he comes in there and does exactly what he's doing in training and there is no rules against him absolutely mollywhopping and beating the shit out of Jake Paul, I don't see a reason why Mike Tyson would lose. But like I said before, I also see it turning and being one of those things where he's just in it for the money. A lot of these, it seems like all these fights that Jake Paul has written down in contracts and gone out and doing it, it just seems like these guys are all doing it for money. Rightly so. I mean, a lot of these guys are getting paid a lot more than what they would make in a regular fight in their prime. And, you know, Mike Tyson would be dumb not to take it. But I would really love to see an all-out just – Mike Tyson going 100% and showing this kid like, okay, this is what actual boxing is. You're not, it's not you or your brother fighting Nate Robinson or, a UFC fighter that's, or what was it? Ben Askren.
Yeah.
Who's never been
it was
you.
God, who did he fight? He fought. It was Ben Askren, Nate Robinson.
I think Nate Robinson fought Logan Paul.
I think the closest one was Tyron Woodley. Remember that?
Yeah,
one?
Tyron Woodley and I mean, it's just like, dude, you fight Ben Askren, and not it wasn't his debut, but throughout his UFC career, watch his highlights. The man can't even throw a punch, but he was a national champion in wrestling, and that was his specialty. It's like, dude, you're fighting a dude that's not even known for landing a punch ever. Jorge Masvidal literally came out in 5 seconds and threw a flying knee and his hands weren't even up. Like this guy doesn't even like Ben Askren. Like this is my thing with the whole Jake Paul boxing. I think it's just a joke. It's a marketing scheme and he's a genius for it. But I think if there's no rules and Mike Tyson's allowed to go 100%, I don't see Mike Tyson losing, even if he is 60 years old.
Yeah. Totally.
So with that being said, we'll kind of switch gears here and go into another topic. I read up on the WNBA a little bit, and I saw that betting on WNBA games is becoming increasingly popular due to Caitlin Clark being in the league and being on the Indiana Fever. I believe that's the name, the Indiana Fever. There's been a lot of bets placed on her and the team as a whole. And obviously it's because of her, these people are probably hammering the over. They're probably hammering, points scored by Caitlin Clark. But I think it's great. I have never been a huge fan of basketball in general. Never really watched a immense amount of games in the WNBA, but I think Caitlin Clark being that phenom and being that next, the generational talent that she is bringing in a lot of not only viewers, but money sold on tickets at the stadium. I mean, all those games are going to be sold out. I talked to somebody, one of my buddies, his brother is going to Indiana for a game, and the game, it's already sold out. It's like one of the first few weeks of their season. I believe they start very soon here. They've already started.
Have you seen the prices for tickets, like for away games?
I don't even want to know.
It's crazy. But what's really funny is like just the attention she's bringing. I saw a WNBA post-game press conference for the first time in my entire life a couple days ago, and it was Caitlin Clark doing a post-game presser. I was like, I didn't even know they did these. Like,
I mean, it's just like, all these WNBA veterans are very salty. I see a lot of interviews with players. Yeah. I don't know who these players are. Yeah. But they're coming out, oh, it's going to be a learning curve for her. It's going to be this, it's going to be that. She's just not going to, she's a great player. They always like reiterate and go back to, you know, the opposite of what they're saying. And I think they're just salty because she's already lighting it up. I watched her preseason highlights and she was already crossing people up, step back threes. Yeah. Like she hasn't missed a beat. And I don't really think, you know, all these people are like, oh, it's definitely going to be a learning curve for her. And I'm like, I don't think it is. I think it's just another game for her. She has been doing this since she was a little kid, competitive, playing in boys' leagues. Yeah. And she is just absolutely electric. And it's honestly like going to make me, as somebody that doesn't really watch basketball until March Madness on, tune into WNBA games because of her. Not only her, but I think this draft class. You got Angel Reese, another girl from Iowa State, dude. She scored like 40 points in the paint. And then another girl, Pacific Islander. I forgot her name. She's from Utah. And this draft class, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think that WNBA is, if anybody listens to this who loves WNBA, I'm sorry, but it's bad basketball. If you ever watched like a whole game, it's bad.
Yeah.
And, but NCAA women's basketball is way more fun to watch.
Oh, 100%. I'm always tuning in to the NCAA women's basketball tournaments, games. I think it's electric. Yeah. I think these people, they talk their shit. The coaches get into it. And it's honestly such a fun sport to watch. Yeah. And I think, I hope that'll transfer into the WNBA this season and, you know, the seasons to come, because I think this draft class is the best, the best the WNBA has ever seen as far as raw talent.
Angel Reese and
there's a few other. I forget their names.
Next year's gonna be crazy too.
Yeah, next year they got that girl from UConn, Paige. I forgot her last name, but she decided to stay back. Smart girl. She's getting paid through those NIL deals and sponsorships. So I think the WNBA is gonna be on the up and up, and I think we're gonna finally see it being a popular sport among sports watchers and people that are, you know, basketball fans are really gonna tune into this season's and the seasons to come. And I'm excited because I loved watching Caitlin Clark, especially in college. I mean, dude, she just doesn't miss.
No,
she's just an absolute phenom. Athleticism. She reminds me of the girl version of Steph Curry. Just has that flush three, dude. And she makes plays, dude. She passes the rock too. And her vision is outstanding coming down the court. And I think the WNBA is really going to be a sport to watch for all you sports fans out there. Tune into this season. It's going to be a good one, in my opinion.
While we're talking about Caitlin Clark, there's been some controversy in the WNBA and NFL world where Cooper DeJean, if you know, cornerback in the NFL, played for Iowa, as well as Caitlin Clark, was asked if he thinks he could beat her in
1v1. The cornerback, the white cornerback.
Yeah. So I wanted to show some of his high school basketball highlights.
Oh, I saw them, dude. Yeah, for the people that are watching this
for the viewers, too, and just let us know in the comments who you think would be able to win. I'll show this screen here.
100%.
Here we go. All right. Is that showing on our screen, Cody? There we go.
Yeah. All right. Added to the stage. Here we go. Yep.
All right. So here's some Cooper DeJean basketball highlights.
Just posterized, dude.
I'll turn off the volume here so it's not too loud. But he was like, look at that.
He just like straight step. I mean, look, he just snagged it out of the air.
He's like
athleticism.
He's got insane hops and he's almost jumping out of the gym. Look at that.
Oh, I mean, that's just insane. And you know, like we know in the NFL, cornerbacks, safeties, you don't see a lot of white boys playing that position. And no, I think that kid's going to be really good at the cornerback position. And in my opinion, I don't think Caitlin Clark's got a chance in a 1v1 against her, against him. But if they had a 3-point contest, I think she can match up with most people.
Yeah, absolutely. No,
it's just the straight physicality and athleticism.
In terms of a 1v1, he's not like, she can't drive on him. She might be able to, like, get some dribble moves off and get open that way and pop some threes. But
yeah, 100%.
If he gets the ball, I don't see her getting it back.
I don't think she's going to be able to drive the paint on him. I don't think she's going to be able to stop him driving the paint.
Yeah.
But in a 3-point contest, I think Caitlin Clark can play, can match up against anybody, even in the NBA. It's shooting, and she can shoot. Well, we've seen it before, and we're seeing it now in the WNBA and in these preseason games. But kind of flipping the switch here from NBA, we're going to go into one topic in the NHL. So we're talking about the Florida Panthers and the Boston Bruins. Series is at 3-1. Florida just won this game 3-2 today. And Marchand was out this game, game 4, huge piece for the Bruins. He suffered an injury last game. Me and Sean watched it. I don't even know what happened. Somebody hit him and he fell into the boards.
He was coming across the ice and someone gave him a swift jab to the head.
Okay.
I don't know what his injury was, the reason he was out of the game. But what goes around comes around. Marchand is one of the dirtiest players in the NHL. Absolute scumbag. So I'm kind of glad that this happened to him.
I couldn't agree more. I cannot stand Brad Marchand. I think he's a great, phenomenal hockey player.
Yeah,
he's a little pack rat dude. He makes plays, and he's a great hockey player, and he's great for the Bruins. I mean, that's a huge key missing player for them. And we look at the series. It's now 3-1, and I believe last year Florida was down 3-1. I think they were down 3-1, and they end up coming back on the series and beating the Bruins. But my take is I think Florida's just too good for the Bruins. I don't see the Bruins coming back in this.
I think it'll be over the next game.
It comes down, and sorry, Anthony, love you to death, buddy, but I think the Bruins are done.
And you're about to go back to Florida.
Yeah, the last two games not even one game in Florida, one game in Boston. I mean, they lost 6-2, 6-1, like high scoring games in Florida, just lighting it up. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to depth. Florida's depth is so good. They have players on each line. Line 1 through 4 is playing flush. And, the guys on the 3rd and 4th line are playing like the guys on the 1 and 2. And when you have that, and the Bruins just don't have that depth. They don't have those players as deep as Florida has. And I think that's what's screwing them, is like, you get tired throughout the game. Those one and two lines, they're not going to be able to come out as much. And when you're having Florida's 3rd and 4th line playing at a high level, intensity, scoring, putting pucks on net, you're not going to win. And I don't think the Bruins are going to come back from this. I just don't think they have the depth. I don't think they want it. I think Florida is out for vengeance. They lost in the cup last year, and that's the team I think is going to win the cup. I know a lot of people will probably disagree with me, but I think the Florida Panthers they're hot and they're good, and they have depth, and that really matters in the playoffs.
No, they're just they're just a great team, and they've been a great team the entire time. It's just they don't stop. They keep it going every single time. Like, they're just aggressive, and they're all over the puck. I mean, you can't, like, it's just almost like they're like they say in football, like, you're gang tackling. They're gang beating the shit out of the Bruins. Like,
I mean, like, it's just kind of like the wind is just sucked out of the Bruins, the team, and I just don't really see them coming back. Who knows? There has been crazier things to happen in the NHL playoffs over the years, but I just don't think the Bruins have it in them, and I think Florida's going to take this series for sure. Next game.
Yeah, and I honestly think I was wrong, but I might be wrong. I mean, sorry, I might be wrong. The Panthers are really, really good, and I have New York to win the cup. So,
hey, New York is another good team as well. I mean, a team that got out first round last season. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be an atmosphere to go to have the Rangers in that Stanley Cup final, you know, going to their arena. I think it just doesn't get more American than that. And I would love to see it, but yeah, I'm sticking with Florida with this one. And I think they're going to win it all. I could be wrong. You know, I'm not an NHL analyst, but that's what I believe is going to happen.
Yeah. And you know, we can also we'll transition here off of NHL and start talking a little bit about the MLB.
Yes. Yes.
And start talking about a little bit of the stuff going on there. Do you want to talk about let's talk about Paul Skeens first before we get all nerded out on the A's?
Yes. Paul Skeens, pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I believe that's the team he plays for. Yes.
Yep.
Pittsburgh Pirates. Just wanted to make sure on that. I'm not a big baseball guy, but this guy caught my attention in college. I have a buddy, shout out Yaya, Ryan Uros.
Yep.
Big LSU guy, loved Paul Skeens, talked about him all the time. We would watch games at work of him pitching, and this kid is unbelievable. I think it's the next Nolan Ryan here if he can stay healthy. I mean, in his debut, he threw 17 times over 100 miles an hour. It's just insane. He struck out 7 people. He had 84 pitches, and 54 of those were strikes. He struck out his 2 first batters in his MLB debut. And this guy, I think, is just so electric. And dude, if you have a kid that can throw that hard that many times, there's not going to be many people that's going to be able to hit his stuff.
Yeah.
And I believe he has some off-speed stuff, but his off-speed stuff can't be that slow. His off-speed stuff is, I mean, he's probably still throwing a 90-mile-an-hour 90-mile-an-hour fucking sinker or changeup.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not throwing anything less than probably 85 in any of his pitches.
That guy on TikTok. No changeup, no curveball, just straight
fucking gas. It's just like, dude, he's just so good. And to come out like he did in his MLB debut and do that and put up those stats is insane. And I think this kid's going to have a hell of a career. And I think he's going to be a big help for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he's definitely a guy to watch for any of you MLB guys, baseball guys. Shout out Keaton, too. I know he's a big MLB guy. So are you, Tyler. Watch out for Paul Skeens. That guy is, in my opinion, the next Nolan Ryan. The guy throws straight gas. And I love it when pitchers throw hard like that. There's just nothing better than guys just getting on the mound and throwing 100 miles an hour. Yeah, that's the stuff I like to watch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like any of the off-speed stuff. Sure, it's cool. But, man, when a guy can get up there and throw 100 miles an hour, you know, that many times and is going to continue to do it and continue to put up these stats, I believe, if he can stay healthy, the rest of the league needs to watch out.
Yeah. And staying on the MLB here. I do want to talk a little bit about the Oakland Athletics.
Yes.
They are going through a – but I'll say a funny situation right now where they're actually putting together a pretty decent season so far. Mm-hmm. And we're about 40 games in. So they are 19-23. And in the American League West, they are 3.5 games back from the lead. So just to think that the A's could potentially, you know, make the playoffs, right? And it's just kind of hilarious. I was talking to my uncle, shout out Dan Lewis.
Dan Lewis.
Yeah. He, made the comparison to, the movie, Major League.
Great movie.
The owner is, doing everything they can to screw over the team and, they're going to move the stadium and the fans aren't going to the games, but then the team gets really good. Right. And they go on this miracle run and the fans come back and then they keep the team. So it's like, you know, Oakland has had a rough go of keeping sports teams and all that. And, you know, I live in Sacramento, so I'd be obviously a little bit excited to have them so close. But there's something about Oakland that is just like screams the A's. And, you know, I remember back in the day when I was younger, you know, going to the sold out A's games and Grant Balfour's coming out and everybody's
Grant swinging Balfour.
Their arms and doing the rage and everything. And we're like winning the division titles and stuff. And everything was awesome. We had like Yoenis Cespedes and Coco Crisp, the good old days.
Yeah, I remember, you know, same thing. I remember going to the A's games countless times. I mean, I grew up an A's fan. My dad's an A's fan.
RC Cola action.
RC Cola, best cola in the game.
Yeah.
Remember
Diego,
that?
Fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah, Diego. None of that Coca-Cola stuff. But, yeah, you know, I also watched Grant Balfour. I mean, that guy was absolutely electric. He really got the fans into it. And like you said, it's brings you back to that movie, Major Leagues. Major League, and there's just a slight chance. I feel like if they just have a good season, it's just, I think it might turn around. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. They've gotten screwed over year after year recently, and I don't really know what's going to happen with that team. I really hope they stay in Oakland, dude. I mean, like I said, we grew up going to the A's games. Yeah. I mean, it's just that place builds character.
We are 6 games back from the wild card spot. First wild card spot, but you know, we're only a few games back. Like, the next team above us is 20 wins, so one more win and they lose. Like, and then to get in the top four, it's 2 wins. Like, we're only 2 games behind the Boston Red Sox, and we have no payroll and no players. And every time a player starts to respect Oakland or express that they want to stay in Oakland, they get sent down to minors for whatever reason. Like, you know, I just been seeing some stuff. Like, I'll give you an example. We are starting at center field. I'll pull this up real quick because I don't want to talk out of my rear end. At center field, we are starting JJ Bedley, whatever. And we have Estreu Ruiz. And we're not playing Estreu Ruiz, who was one of the most electric rookies in baseball last year. We finally put Brent Rooker back into the lineup. We don't have Ryan Noda playing first base. It's just like, why are we not putting our star young players in there? It's because, man, the owners want the A's to fail so they can do whatever they want. John Fisher is a crook. He is a disgusting piece of shit. And I hope that the MLB steps in and does something about this, because it's just – it's disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's – you can just tell that they're tanking and they want this move to happen. Mm-hmm. It's all about the dollar bill. They moved to Vegas, and the revenue could go through the roof just based on the area in which they play in. And the MLB and the owner will probably at some point – you know, flip that around. Oh, now they're signing all these guys. Oh, this guy's playing now. Oh, it's a whole new team. And it's just, it just takes the whole heart and soul just right out of the team, in my opinion. And I think it's just absolute bullshit.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, if you guys want to go support there's this thing called Last Dive Bar. It is a fan page for the Oakland Athletics. They sell really cool t-shirts and stuff to wear to the games that are kind of nothing more than Fisher rhetoric and hate. It's really awesome. So you guys could check that out too. But I mean, there's got to be a change. I can't believe that there has not been anything from the MLB to step in and be like, hey, this is unacceptable for a professional franchise. You got to fix this.
Yeah. I mean, they're probably on the same page as the owner. They want it. They're put in under the rug. They don't want to come out and do what's right. And it's ridiculous, man. It's just – it's killing the sports for that city. I mean, just growing up in the Bay Area, man, you know, the Oakland Raiders, the Athletics, I mean, they really brought the heart to the Bay. And now you have one team gone and now another team that could potentially be gone. And it's just – it's killing it. It's killing
it. Yeah, I mean, there's been there'll be three professional sports teams in the last 5 years that have left Oakland. Like, that's just crazy to me. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they're focused on other things that are not keeping your sports teams in town. But
yeah,
I'll digress. I could go on and on about how much the A's piss me off, but yet I love them so much. You know, it's like one of those things, like, nothing's better than baseball. Like, you know, I love football with everything I got. I'm the biggest Raiders fan you'll ever meet. But like, going, there's something about going to a baseball game that's just like so different than any other. It can't be replicated. And there's people out there obviously who hate baseball and think it's boring or whatever. But you know, when you're sitting there with your bag of peanuts and your hot dog and you know, your beer, your soda or whatever, and you're just watching a baseball game at noon, like, it's just awesome. So
yeah, yeah, that's the thing that really, you know, me being not a huge baseball guy, I would go to a baseball game live, watch it live,
mm-hmm.
you know, 100 times over. I love going to baseball games. I won't really tune in too much on the TV, but mm-hmm. something, like you said, so I'm about just being there live and just
right.
the sun shining, you know, the field is crisp, it's green, you got a nice cold Coors Light or RC Cola, whatever you prefer. And you know, it's just the electricity used to be there. And I hope that something happens and something turns around and we see a miracle happen. And the A's are hopefully going to stay in Oakland yeah. or somewhere in the Bay Area.
Yeah, right. And just to let everybody know, this video is not sponsored by RC Cola, but go drink RC Cola.
Yes, RC Cola.
That's all I got to say.
RC Cola. But I think that's about all the time we have today, all the topics we got. Like we said before, you know, go and comment on the Mike Tyson and Ray Lewis debate put in the comments and we'll check them out. We'll try to answer you guys. Thanks again.
Follow us on platforms below.
All the platforms are below.
Yep.
Like, subscribe, share, do all that stuff. Tell your grandma, tell your grandpa, tell your parents to tell their friends, you know.
Tell your weird cousin.
Tell your weird cousin.
Family barbecues, you know.
Exactly. Tell them. You know, get the word out, man. We're trying to get more people to settle down and to listen to us. And we got a lot of good things to say and a lot of good stuff coming up. So, yet again, we appreciate you guys for tuning in. And, yeah, that's it. Appreciate you guys.
All right, thanks
for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.